Hello and welcome to Something Positive for Positive People. I am Courtney Brain. Something Positive for Positive People is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that supports people navigating herpes stigma. I want to make a quick announcement. So I am going to be putting on a symposium. It's a men's symposium. I'm kind of talking through it without anything on writing. I don't have anything in writing just yet, but I'm wanting to organize it, right? So what I envision is just having some sort of a panel of four men who are emotionally mature or are willing and able to share their emotional experiences or their experiences with experiencing their emotions. What I want to call it is exploring masculinity through a lens of vulnerability. And this is something that anyone can come to, but I'm going to make it to where we are prioritizing these men who are going to be speaking. So if you are someone who is a man, I don't like saying identifies as a man just because that feels invalidating to someone who is a man. And we just leave it at that. So I shouldn't have to say this, but this is inclusive to trans men. I think that's the best way that I know to put it. So if that didn't come out the way that I intended it to, I apologize. But my thing is, like, if you're a man among men and you can deal with, you know, whatever criticisms or critiques or challenges that come your way, then that, you know, you fit in there. Like, it's not even really about fitting in. Like, if you are a man, you are a man. And if you can't tolerate or take whatever challenging of that comes in, then you gotta, how you deal with it is how you deal with it. I don't really know what more to say about that. But I want to put this together because oftentimes I hear about masculinity, it's coming from men and they explain it as not a woman or not feminine. And what I've learned is that that sort of gives permission to men or people who, you know, align with masculine identities, permission to be avoidant, to be, you know, devoid of emotion. But I think that the reality is that, like, we feel so much that when we aren't able to experience those emotions or identify them, like, the ignorance of our emotion becomes rationalized. So, like, we call it logic. And it's just like we view it as devoid of emotion when really our logic is fueled by an emotion that we're unaware of. So I want to do that. I don't know when it'll be. I am organizing it. I'm reaching out to people and I'm putting it together and I'm talking about it on social media. I'm putting it in the newsletter, and this actually may end up being its own separate thing aside from Something Positive for Positive People, but supported in a way, like, through, you know, what we've developed so far, because so many conversations that I have with people about herpes end up going into talking about how emotionally immature typically a man has been. Like, I mostly talk to women who date men, or men who date men as well. These are most of the conversations that I'm having, and whenever there's an issue, it comes down to emotional immaturity of the partner who identifies as a man. And so I want to put this together and just explore that, because it's the thing that I wish existed for me. So for anyone who is, like, emotionally curious that exists out there, reach out to me. Like, let me know, like, what your thoughts are, if you have any input, if you're somebody who wants to be part of this. So what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be seeking sponsorships. I'll sell tickets to this, and I want to be able to pay the people who are coming on to talk about this. And this, I believe that this is going to be like it's going to be its own thing, because as I've talked about it, people have reached out to me and in support and wanting to be part of it. So I'm excited to see what happens next from this. So I wanted to just announce that here, because so much of it comes from these conversations that I've had with people about herpes. And I think that, you know, it's important that on this journey, as I evolve, as what I'm doing evolves, that, you know, I keep y'all in the loop about that. So yeah, just wanted to share that here in the intro before going into what probably is going to be the shortest podcast episode ever on the topic of disclosing and non-monogamy. So I say disclosing because that's the universal word that people understand when we talk about discussing your STI status, herpes status with a partner, significant other, right? So as we know, I've been writing articles for the Pornhub Sexual Wellness Center for a couple years now, actually. Has it been a couple years? Yeah, I think it's been a little bit over 2 years. And these articles tend to gain more visibility than me just doing a podcast episode. It's weird. Maybe it's just because it's Pornhub. But with that said, I wrote the article and it was essentially like bringing up the point of, do you, should you tell another partner that you, even though you don't take, even though you don't have herpes yourself, you are involved with someone who does have herpes, right? So do we disclose? How do we disclose? What do we do? So I have seen people in relationships where there's a discordant couple and then they open up their relationship. You know, one person has herpes, the other person hasn't shown any symptoms or tested positive, and they've wondered, like, should I tell my new partners that my current partner has herpes? And, you know, the ultimate answer is you don't have to tell them that it's this partner. So if you are someone who's non-monogamous, you can just say, hey, you know, I am wanting to just let you know I'm seeing someone who does have herpes. And I haven't tested positive, but I just wanted to give you that piece of information, because the reality is that you can, you know, get it, not have symptoms yet, and then pass it on to somebody else. And you don't want to be the person who non-consensually especially has given a person herpes, and you know that there's that potential risk of it, right? And if they find out, especially when you're in a non-monogamous community where it should be easier for you to have these conversations because it's so normalized, and then you just choose not to, that is sort of borderline a consent violation in a way, because you know that there's this much of a risk. Even if you have yourself not tested positive or you haven't shown any symptoms, right? If you are sexually active with someone who is living with herpes and it's under the guise of or if it is in a relationship especially, and you want to or go on to have relationships with people who don't have herpes. Now, granted, on our data tab on the Something Positive for Positive People website, you'll see that more than 70% of people who are living with herpes have gone on to have sex with people who don't have herpes and have not passed it on. So yes, that's the case, but that doesn't dismiss the need to disclose this or discuss this with potential partners. So I encourage you, if you are somebody who is living with this virus and you are non-monogamous, you're seeing, excuse me, if you are non-monogamous and seeing someone who is positive and you yourself are not positive, go ahead. Like, why not? What harm's going to be done? Are you going to experience the same stigma that a person who has it might be experiencing? Probably not, but it could be the case. But also, you don't have to out your partner, because, you know, there's also those ethics, right? Now, if you are, you know, you engage in threesomes, right? I think that it's really important too. Like, if that's the only case, yeah, like, the couple, you know, has herpes. Like, the non-herpes doesn't trump having herpes, right? So it's a three-way relationship in that sense of a non-monogamous relationship. And yeah, you know, you might say, oh, well, I'm not gonna, and I'm speaking from, like, let's say it's MFM threesome, male, female, male, right? And I'm sorry, one of the more commonly talked about ones, I would say, is a guy and two girls. One girl may not be as, you know, bi as we would hope that the quote unicorn is, right? So she might let someone go down on her, but not go down on someone. This is, and I'm speaking from this because it's common. And because of that, you know, they may think that there's no risk, or people think that there's no risk between lesbian relationships or two vagina vulva owners, that there's like a lower risk of transmission, but that's not the case. Like, we, no matter what, need to be having these conversations about our sexual health. And I don't like to see that just because, you know, herpes is herpes is present, we feel like that, like, okay, well, that's why we need to have a conversation because I have herpes. No, everyone should be having these conversations. We all should be talking about our STI status. We all should be identifying, you know, where we stand with each other, unless we're okay with the risk. The only people who aren't having these conversations are people who are okay with the risk. And I stand on that. I don't care what you say. Like, if you are not having conversations about your sexual health with someone before you have sex with them, you are okay with the risk until you say otherwise. Because if that's what you've been doing, like, to you, the outcome of sex is greater than, it means more to you than the potential outcome of contracting an STI. And when you have the conversation, at least from that point, you can identify and state what is more important to you. So if that is having sex more than having sex with this person who might take away from your ability to freely have the kind of sex that you want to be having without having to have this conversation, be real about that, right? And that's what this comes down to. Like, a lot of people just don't want to be real about what they're feeling, right? And again, one of the surprising statistics from our HSV survey is that 15% of people said that emotional health was the leading symptom or the leading thing that contributed to them having outbreaks, their emotional health. So I strongly encourage y'all to be able to be more emotionally available and supportive to the people that you are being sexually active with. And part of that is going to be talking about your sexual health and talking about your intentions of relationships, referencing episode 299 with Dr. Evelyn Decker, who talks about the STARS talk. We want to be clear about our relationship intentions and expectations. We want to talk about safety, turn-ons, avoids, and STI status, y'all. So regardless of the relationship structure that you're in, this is an important conversation. I don't think you need to go around and be like, hey, y'all, my partner has HSV. But in a way of, you know, if you're honoring a non-monogamous relationship dynamic, it's important for you to be able to communicate that, hey, someone that I'm with, you know, I haven't tested positive, but there's still a possibility. So I just want you to know that. And a lot of people find these conversations to be really sexy. So you ain't got to worry about killing the mood. You can really just look at this as an opportunity to develop more of an emotionally intimate connection with a person that you are wanting to be emotionally, or you want to be intimately connected to, whether that be physical intimacy and closeness or emotional closeness. All right. So you can check out that article at the Pornhub Sexual Wellness Center. You can just search in the box herpes or disclosing in non-monogamy, whatever it is that you would search for. Articles out now. I just wanted to do this quick episode to just touch on that, because I don't think that that's something that we've touched on specifically. It's come up in podcast episodes in the past, I'm sure. But yeah, I hope to have this be of some use to y'all. I want to just thank everybody again who attended the conference or who purchased the recording. If you're interested in the latest herpes survey statistics, you can go to spfpp.org/conferences and you can purchase the conference so that you can see that survey data, as well as the presentations from Dr. Dacker, who's a family physician, and then Nikita, who is a sex therapist, and then Dakota, who's a youth sexuality educator as well. All right. And then, oh, I present the survey data. Yay. All right, y'all. If y'all need anything, hit me up. I'm going to be working over here. I'm working on this men's event, and I look forward to what's to come from it, as well as, like, I'm in yoga therapy school. I started, you know, teaching genital exams in New York. I live in New Jersey now, which is close to New York. I just commute over there as I need to because I ain't got to be in the city that much. But this is much more affordable for me now. I've made updates to the website, updates to the, like, nonprofit status. So if you are lost or if you want to be included on what's happening here, please visit somethingpositiveforpositivepeople.org. spfpp.org. Join the newsletter. I think that that's going to be where we provide most of the updates now as we move forward, just because social media has been quiet. Like, I have people who don't know that I was moving, who don't know that I've been in a relationship, who don't know a lot of what I've been posting to social media or what I've been even talking about in the podcast, just because social media has not been very friendly to me as a person who is, I guess, talking about sex. So yeah, stay in touch through the newsletter. If you need the support call, if you need anything, whatever, hit me up. And yeah, till next time.